If you would, please turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 14. Book of Exodus, chapter 14. I'd like to read verse 1 through verse 4. And the word of the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. We ask that you bless your word and may it go forth in power by your Spirit. We ask you to save the lost and strengthen the saved. And Lord, encourage your people today. And we ask that you would just be with the sick and afflicted, heal them. Those who are traveling, watch over them. And just draw us to you. Please forgive us for our sins. May we honor you today and worship you in spirit and in truth. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I would assume that we are all familiar with the phrase, when it rains, it pours. This means that troubles and difficult times hit us all at once. I mean, you might have a spot here, spot there, but sometimes you just get hammered. And we say, well, when it rains, it pours. And many things just go wrong at one time. And you know this by experience, don't you? I'm sure that you have said that sometime in your life. Well, when it rains, it pours. We've all faced difficult circumstances, haven't we? And sometimes things are discouraging. Sometimes it just isn't raining, it's pouring. I pray that that's not your case today, but if it is, we pray that you might find encouragement. My objective considers the stresses and the strains of life and how to deal with them. And may we learn from Israel's experience as we read in our text. From Exodus chapter 14, verse 1 through verse 4. The title of my message is Life at the Seashore. Life at the Seashore. And there are going to be other references we're going to be looking at and pursuing today, but let's concern ourselves with what's going on here within the passage. If you know anything about the history of the children of Israel, after a period of time they went down into Egypt, and they were there for over 400 years, and at the end of those times, they were in slavery and in great bondage. Very, very difficult time in the history of the nation of Israel. God sent Moses as a deliverer. And you know about the 10 plagues in Egypt, and how that God, by great power and great signs and wonders, delivered the children of Israel out of the hands of the Egyptians. And so they escaped, and they were making their way. And what we find in our passage, where God gives them direction, where to go, and we have some places that are listed in the text. And what we find in the passage is that God directs them over to the Red Sea, to where it looks like they're trapped by the Red Sea. And of course, you know the story, Pharaoh and his army, they embark after the children of Israel once they find out they're trapped by the sea. And so he gets his 600 chariots, and off they go to chase after them. And how that when they appear on the scene, the Israelites are scared to death. Well, who can blame them? Because the army of Egypt is pursuing after them. And so they cry out unto God, and Moses cries out unto the Lord, and Moses is told by God to, you know what? You just need to go forward. Which doesn't make a lot of sense for us because the sea's right there. But what God did was he took that Shekinah glory, that great pillar of cloud and pillar of fire, and moved it to behind them to separate the Egyptians from the Israelites. And then Moses stretched forth the rod of God, and God caused a strong east wind to come all night long, and it caused a passageway through the Red Sea. And so the children of Israel went through the sea on dry ground. And then God removed his Shekinah glory, and the Egyptians pursued after him, went into the sea, and God caused the sea to come back upon the Egyptians, and the army was drowned. And so you're familiar with that great story, tremendous as it is. But think about what we find in our passage here today and how it applies to our life and the stresses and the struggles and the strains, and when it rains, it pours. We find them at the sea's edge, And they're trapped. Things are looking really rough. Life can be like that. Therefore, life at the seashore. Consider our passage today, and then I will notice some parallel experiences, and then some passages of exhortation, and then some practical points of application. Points for examination, first of all, look into our passage and you'll see that they were where God wants them to be. Look at verse 1 and verse 2 once again. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon. Before it ye shall encamp by the sea. Why were they where they were? It's because God said, this is where you go. This is your point. And so they, following God, went and encamped before the sea. They were where God wanted them to be. Sometimes we believe that all of our troubles and all of our trials and all of our cares come upon us because we sin against God. Not necessarily so, my friend. Now, troubles and trials and tribulations come because we do sin. We can be chastened at the hand of God, and God chases every son whom He receives. And so God does correct us and lead and guides and directs us. But you know what? Sometimes we can be exactly where God wants us to be, but yet we're by the seashore, and things don't look very well because the Egyptian army is crashing in upon us. They were where God wanted them to be. Keep that in mind. Number two. Doing God's will does not eliminate enemies or evil circumstances. In verse 4, God said, I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he will follow after them. It was God's intention that the children of Pharaoh, the army, would pursue after the children of Israel. And of course, that puts a great fear in the lives of the children of Israel because they just figure they're going to get destroyed. And they are where God wants them to be, but just because you're where God wants you to be doesn't mean that all your enemies will go away and all problems will cease. So the children of Israel are doing exactly what God wanted them to do, but it was by God's direction that Pharaoh and his army should pursue after them. A third thing I want to point out to you is sometimes, and you look at this in verse 3, the latter part of the verse, sometimes God traps us by the seaside. Sometimes He does. We may not like that, but we're there. And we're there by God's direction, but we're trapped. And so it says that Pharaoh's going to understand this. If they go exactly where God wants them to go, and they did, because you can read that the last part of verse 4, it says, and they did so. Going to that place, they're trapped by the seaside. Pharaoh knew it. They are entangled in the land, and the wilderness hath shut them in. Pharaoh says, I've got them. And why were they there? God told them to go there. They were trapped. You know why? Because God wanted them to be trapped. And sometimes God traps us by the seaside. And then, of course, when you look at verse 4 once again and glance at the latter part of that text, God allows difficult times to come upon us for His reason, for His power, for His honor, for His glory. He says that Pharaoh is going to come after them. The latter part of verse 4 says, And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And so I've already given you the history of that, how the two children of Israel went through the sea on dry ground. And by the way, I must say unto you, it wasn't some little shallow thing where they just waded across. We're talking about a sea that's deep enough and wide enough that when the children of Pharaoh, the Egyptian army, pursues after the children of Israel, they're drowned in the sea and the bodies are floating up. So don't buy into some of these skeptic statements that, well, it was just a shallow marsh and they just walked across. No, sir. God dried up the sea, dried up the ground, and divided the sea, and they went across, and Pharaoh's army was drowned. But you know why did God do that? God said, I'm going to have you trapped because my purpose is I'm going to get Pharaoh, honor upon Pharaoh, and the Egyptians are going to know that I'm God. And frankly, the truth of the matter is sometimes God allows us to be trapped by the sea, and God allows difficult times and troubles and trials and afflictions to come upon us because He's proving that He's God. He's proving to other people that He is God. When He delivers God's people, He proves that He's God. And God is honored for that. And so sometimes we know that that is the case. God will allow those things simply for His honor and for His glory. By the way, I would submit unto you that all things that come to us pass through the hands of God anyway. Nothing happens to me except it be by God's permission or by God's decree. And so I know I can trust a God who's in heaven, who's perfect, just, and holy, and right. And I'm not to sit in judgment upon Him. I'm to honor and to glorify Him, even if it's by the seaside and I'm trapped. God knows what He is doing. But then you'll notice, look down into verse 14. We looked at verse 1 through verse 4. We went back over that. But a word of encouragement was given to them. They're trapped. The Egyptians come out. They have them cornered there along the seashore. Here's the word of encouragement that's given in verse 14. Moses stands up and he says, "The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Well, they're whining and complaining. Who can blame them? They wanted to go back to Egypt. Why did we come out here? You're going to kill us all out in the wilderness. We were better off in Egypt, and on and on and on. By the way, the children of Israel were very good at that. Whenever things got tough, they kept whining and wanting to go back to Egypt. It's easy to just to give up and return. But Moses said, "You know what? The Lord's going to fight for you. We're here by His direction, and we did exactly what God wanted us to do. He will take care of us. Hold your peace. Quit your complaining." And then notice verse 15, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." Here's the word of encouragement. You're trapped. The Egyptian army's behind you. Things are tough. You think you're going to be killed. You're scared to death. Go forward. Go across the sea. God will take care of you. That's what we find in the passage today. They had to experience life at the seashore. My friend, are you this very moment experiencing life at the seashore? Do you feel like you're trapped? Do you feel like that the world is just closing in upon you and that it's just not raining, but it's pouring and you just don't know where to turn? Sometimes life happens like that. Life at the seashore, that's where they are. Well, let's look at a few parallel experiences, because my intent is for you, especially if you're in that situation today, and if not, you probably will be in the days to come. You know what? We need to know how to respond to this. We need to have some encouragement, some strength. We need to learn from this passage that even when we're at the seashore, by God's direction, God will take care of us. And what an encouragement that is. So let's notice a few parallel experiences. I'm going to ask you to look at two psalms, and we're going to look at the experience of King David. The first psalm is Psalm 42. So if you would, turn over to Psalm 42. Excuse me. We can identify with the children of Israel sometimes. We get trapped by the sea. We can identify with David, because if you know anything about the life of David before he was king and how he was pursued by Saul for those 10 years or so, it was a very difficult time for him. And he said at one point, "There was just a step between me and death." What a horrible situation to always be in doubt, always wondering what's going to happen. Well, David experienced great many things. He was by the seashore many times. And so there are two psalms that I want to share with you. The first is Psalm 42. "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after God." Don't you like David's attitude? "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Keep in mind, he had been forced away from the children of Israel. He's on the run. He couldn't come in before the Ark of the Covenant and worship God. He's away, but he still desires God. He says, "My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God?" You ever feel like that? I mean, the tears just don't stop. And the people are around you are saying, "Where's your God now? What's your problem?" You see where David is. He says, "When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, and with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites and from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me." Things are tough, difficult times. He says, but I'm still going to hope in God. Verse 8, "Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, For I shall yet praise him who is the help of my countenance and my God. You get any sense at all of David being in a hard time, the enemies just having victory and having their way, always taunting him about where's your God, and he's away from the temple, and the tabernacle rather, and he's on the run. Life is tough. Feels like he's being cast down and that God's forgotten. You ever been like that? David was at the seashore, wasn't he? And so he mentions those things. The other psalm is Psalm 56. Turn there, please. Psalm 56. This is David's response in regard to the Philistines and all these things that came upon him. Psalm 56. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. You see where he's at. He's by the seashore, isn't he? What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. That's his confidence. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down thy the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. For this I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? And so David gives expression again, another time by the seashore. Difficult. Everybody's against him. The whole world sets against him, as it were. The Philistines, Saul of Tarsus, he delivered him from Saul, but yet now he's still at risk with the Philistines. And here it is, he says, God, I'm going to trust you. David by the seashore. What do you see over and over and over again? You find that David had rough times in his life. He thought it was difficult. It's great upon him, tremendous burden. Can you identify with that? Crying all night long? Wondering? Questioning? God, have you forgotten me? And yet, his hope was in God. The children of Israel trapped by the seashore, and Moses says, God will fight for you. Just go forward. David says, the enemies are compassed about around me, yet I'm going to trust in you. I'd like to give you some passages of exhortation. And I have a number of these that I'm going to list. I have 10 and then a few references at the end. And what I'm going to do is just refer you to some of these events of individuals, how, you know, it looked like at that point they were trapped by the seaside. This is life at the shore. There's no way out. And yet God brought deliverance unto them. First one, of course, is our text. As we think about the children of Israel at the seashore, and God opened up the sea and caused them to go through on dry ground and then destroyed the Pharaoh's army after that. But go back a book or so to the left. Go to Job. Job chapter 1. It's the book right before Psalm. Job 1. All of us have heard about Job and the testings and the trials of Job and all that he suffered and all that he went through and how he lost his herds, his flocks, his servants. He lost his family. Everybody was gone except for his wife, who told him to curse God and die. And we know that after the text we're going to read on into chapter 2, he's even going to be losing his health. I mean, talk about a rough time. I don't think you've ever had it as rough as Job. You might have had it tough, but I haven't seen too many people that's had it as rough as Job. But in that first time when he lost all those things, he still had his health and he still had his wife. Job makes a response in verse 21 of chapter 1. And I just pray that this would be an encouragement to you, because Job is at the seashore. He's trapped. I mean, the enemies are all about, it's raining, it's pouring, this is a tough time. And his response is this, find encouragement in it, verse 21. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. My, what confidence that takes to be in a situation in which he was placed and be able to say with confidence, God, you're God, and I'm going to trust in you. I came out naked. I'm going to go away naked. I am going to believe in you and keep confidence. May you find encouragement in that. If you're by the seashore today, have the attitude of Job. Go back to Judges chapter 6, if you will. Judges chapter 6. One of the judges of Israel was a fellow by the name of Gideon. And Gideon was used of God to conquer the Midianites. Things were tough. There's just a few verses I want to mention. The Midianites were oppressing the children of Israel. Very harsh, very hard situation. They were threshing their wheat in secret because of the enemies. And well, anyway, we pick it up in verse 14. And God is going to use Gideon to deliver. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Verse 16. The Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Can you imagine? You know how hard it would be to go out and fight against an army like that? And God says, I want you to go. By the way, I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to deliver you. What an encouragement. He's up against the wall. He's trapped by the sea. Israelites are just being put under great oppression by the Midianites. And he says, but I'm going to deliver you, and I will fight for you. As a matter of fact, they had too many people. God sent away most of their army. They only had 300. They had great victory with just those 300 men. I'll tell you, up against the wall, life at the seashore, and God encouraged Gideon, I'll fight for you. I'll fight for you. Go over to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30, if you will. I've mentioned David and all the things that David went through down at the end of the time that he was on the run and before Saul was killed and the Philistines gained victory over the Israelites. And David went up to battle with them and with the Philistines, actually, but they sent him back. And what I want you to notice is that when they came back to Ziklag, this is where they were staying, they came back to Ziklag after the Philistines sent them home, and the Amalekites had come up from the south and had raided Ziklag and took all the people, took all the livestock, took everything, and left. David, he's the head of his troop. He comes up. Look at verse 6. I mean, everybody's upset. Everybody lost everything. Verse 6 says, and by the way, you want to talk about being by the seashore. David was greatly distressed. Verse 6, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Well, that's tough. When you're the leader and the buck stops there, you know what? David comes back. He couldn't control the Amalekites. He couldn't stop them. They were up there with the Philistines. They all had chosen to go, but they were following David. So when they return to Ziklag and everything is gone, their wives, their children, all their livestock, everything is gone. They've counted them all dead. They're so discouraged and they're so depressed. They said, we got to get rid of this David guy. Let's stone him. Can you imagine all these guys, men of war? As a bear chafed of his whelps, I mean, they're at wit's end. Let's kill our leader. David, of course, that was distressed. Talk about being by the seashore. And yet, what did he do? The last part of the verse, we can learn from this, can't we? David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I don't know where you are. I don't know what is pressing upon you while you're at the seashore. But I encourage you to turn to God. To encourage yourself in the Lord, just as David had done. Go over to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, we want to make mention of Elijah the prophet. Oh, he was a great prophet. And he did so many wonderful things. But there came a time where he became very discouraged. Very, very discouraged. He ran from God. He went out into the wilderness. He wished that he himself would die. And God came to him, and God spoke to him, and showed him his power. But one of the things that Elijah mentioned was, you know what, I'm the only one left. You ever feel like that? I'm the only one standing from the truth. I'm the only one that is doing right. Everybody else has gone away. That's Elijah's place. He says, there's no one left but me. And I want you to look at verse 18 of chapter 19, where God's speaking to Elijah after he revealed his power to him, gives him direction. He says, yet have I left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. Elijah, thinking he was the only one left, was so discouraged. And God said, you might think you're the only one left, but you're not. I have reserved unto me 7,000 who've not bowed the knee. He was against the wall. He was against the seashore. He was discouraged. He was despondent. And yet God said to him, don't fear. You're not the only one that is left. What an encouragement is that? Go to 2 Kings chapter 6. Well, the prophet that followed Elijah was Elisha. And Elisha the prophet, he was a great prophet of God as well. In fact, in his service to the Lord, he was just simply doing what God wanted him to do, and the Syrians came up to attack him. They came up in the night and surrounded him completely with his army. And it looked pretty rough. In the morning, the servant got up, went outside, and saw the army surrounding him. And look at what happens. The servant says, well, Master, what are we going to do with this? We're done for. Verse 16, 2 Kings 6. He answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. So he prays for the servant to have some insight. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Yes, he was trapped. The army had him encircled. He was a dead man as far as human perception goes. But Elisha knew that God was in heaven. He saw the angels. He knew that. The servant didn't. And so he says, God, let him see. And he saw all the angels. Nothing to be afraid of. And so he called for them to be made blind, and they were. And he led them to Samaria. Oh, what an encouragement. You might be surrounded, but may God open our eyes and see the angels in the hills all about us. Go to 2 Chronicles, rather, chapter 16. 2 Chronicles, chapter 16. This is during the life of King Asa, and he's going to have to go to battle, and it just doesn't look very good. But yet, he's going to trust the Lord, and God gives him victory. And then another battle comes up a little later on, and he doesn't trust God. He depends upon his own power, and he is defeated. But here's the word of encouragement I give you out of verse 9. 2 Chronicles chapter 9. 16 rather, verse 9. Here's a word of encouragement, whether you're by the seashore or not. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. That's a word of encouragement, isn't it? God's eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth. God watches. God sees. May you take encouragement by that. If you're by the seashore, God knows you. God knows your heart. Turn to the book of Matthew chapter 14. Over into the New Testament. Matthew chapter 14. Just a few more examples that I want to give to you. Passages of exhortation of these individuals of which you can learn from, because they were by the seashore. They didn't have any hope. They didn't have any strength other than God, and God delivered. God was gracious unto them. In the New Testament, we find about old Peter. Peter was blessed at one time as Jesus walked on the water and said, if it be you, bid me walk on the water. Boy, that'd have been a thrill, wouldn't it? Get out of the boat in the middle of the Galilean Sea in the midst of a storm and walk on the water to Jesus. And he's walking on the water, but he becomes afraid and he begins to sink. So here in Matthew chapter 14, look at verse 30. The latter part of the verse is he begins to sink. Now, well, he's just not against the seashore. I mean, he's in the sea. So here he is. Things are tough. It looks really bad for him. He's beginning to sink in the middle of the storm on the Sea of Galilee. Verse 30, the middle part says, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? You see that? Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand to save him. Do you think God can do that for you? Do you think your Lord watches over you at the seashore? You're simply doing what God wants you to do. But you're trapped by the sea. The enemy's compassed you all about. This looks pretty tough. God says, go forward. Say, Lord, I can't. Lord, save me. And I'll tell you, God can do so. Go to the book of Acts chapter 4. Two more that I'd like to share with you. Acts chapter 4. I want to make reference to the apostles. The apostles had been persecuted by the powers that be. They've been in trouble. They've been incarcerated. They've been let go. They've been threatened. Acts chapter 4, verse 29 says, and now, O Lord, hear, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Their view was, you know what, we're going to obey God rather than man, and we're just going to keep going. Look at how they threaten us. God, give us the grace we need to keep on standing for you. They were against the seashore, but they asked for God's power. Look at verse 31. They asked for that power. God gave evidence of this. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. God answered their prayer. One other place, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Do you find any encouragement at all from these passages of exhortation? I pray that you do. Because life can be tough. It can be very hard. And you can be at the seashore. You might be there today. And I pray that God would use something today that would give you encouragement to lift up your eyes unto the hills from whence cometh your help. Because the Lord is the one that made heaven and earth. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The last example I give you is the Apostle Paul. Here in verse 8 and verse 9, Paul had developed some sort of eye problem. And it's a thorn in the flesh. It's a very difficult thing. And Paul didn't want it. We don't like problems, do we? We can ask God to take away those things. Paul did. Nothing wrong with that. So he besought the Lord to take it away. God wouldn't. But listen to the answer. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, three times, that it might depart from me. I mean, he wanted to get rid of it. And he said unto me, God's response to Paul was, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul, you're by the seashore, but I'm not taking it away because my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So what did Paul decide? Look at the last part of verse 9. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul understood that when he was under the pressure, under the gun, trapped by the seashore, that if he trusted in God, God would give him the grace that he needed, and he would rather have God's power than be delivered from the trouble. Well, that takes great faith, doesn't it? That takes great encouragement. And that's what we find in the passage by the Apostle Paul. Oh, my friend, I want you to know that God's grace is sufficient. Are you by the seashore today? God knows. You say, I'm there because God directed me, but things haven't worked out like I thought they would. And, I just simply wanted to do God's will. And all this trouble's come upon me. Trust in the Lord. Look to Him. God's grace is sufficient. Let me remind you of a variety of texts that give great and precious promises to us. These passages that I've given you with some of these people's names connected with them or passages of exhortation. Listen to these promises. You remember Romans 8:28, don't you? And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Do you remember what Paul wrote to the church at Philippi? He says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Is that true for you? I believe that it is. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, we're told to come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. In Hebrews chapter 13, in verse 5, the last part of the verse, God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Is that true when you're by the seashore? Is that true when the enemy has you compassed about? Is that true when troubles and afflictions are upon you and it's just not raining but it's pouring? God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What an encouragement. What a strength it is to us. And then I like 1 Peter chapter 5, don't you? Verse 7. Casting all your care upon Him, for he careth for you. I can't promise you a life of ease. I can't promise you a bed of roses. But I can promise you this, that God does not forsake his own. That we who are his children can turn to him and cast our care upon him and look to him for grace. And his grace is sufficient. And you say, well, the tough part is that I'm just simply doing God's will. I didn't do anything wrong. I'm just being obedient. And look where I am. I'm trapped by the seashore and the army of Pharaoh's crashing down. Well, you can either cry out like the Israelites and say, oh, I want to go back to Egypt. And oh, we should have stayed there. Or you can say, you know what, we're going to trust God. Let's go forward. Let's go forward. May you find encouragement today, because sometimes we have life. Our life is at the seashore, isn't it? Very difficult. Let me give you a few thoughts in closing. Number one, if you haven't experienced it, you shall. We shall all arrive at the seashore. Sometime in our lives, we're going to be where God wants us to be, and we're at the seashore, and we're trapped, and there's nowhere to go, and the enemies are closing in. We all shall be there. Number two, difficult times are not always of our own making. Job's experience was a contest between God and the devil. That's why he suffered. Israel was trapped by the Red Sea. For what purpose? So that God would say, Egypt will know that I'm God. They hadn't learned it yet, although they went through the 10 plagues. God said, they'll know. And all the world will know that I am the Lord. And the truth is, some things that come upon us is not a result of our sin, is not the result of the sins of others. It's simply for the honor and glory of God. And God has a reason, and it's not something we've created. These things do come upon us. We will be at the seashore sometimes. And that's because God directed us there. So then I want to remind you also, and may you find encouragement as I think about those passages of exhortation. Number three, I say unto you that like Peter, if we look at the winds and the waves, fear and discouragement and doubt can set in. I mean, what did the children of Israel do when they were trapped by the sea? They saw the army coming. We're doomed. We can't go that way. We can't go that way. And they're going to come and kill us and wipe us out. Peter walking on the water was doing fine till he took his eyes off Jesus. Took his eyes off Jesus, began to look at the wind and the waves, and he began to think, well, this just doesn't work. People just don't do this. I'm going under. And when he got to that point, that's when he started to sink. He began to doubt. And my friend, we need to keep that in mind. I mean, we might be trapped by the sea. It might be by God's appointment. But don't take your eyes off God. Because when you doubt, when you fear, that's when we'll begin to sink. But what did God tell Israel to do? Number four, what did God tell Israel to do? He said, go forward. If we're trapped by the sea, with or without God's direction, but we're there, things are tough, things are hard. God said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. We have nowhere to turn. What do we need to do? Be just like Israel. Go right on forward. Keep right on serving God. Don't give up. Don't surrender. Don't toss in the towel, my friend. God still is on his throne. He is able to deliver. Let us go forward. And then, number five, let us encourage ourselves in God. That's what David did, remember? They spake of stoning him to death. No one else to turn to. He simply turned to God and encouraged himself in God. You might find yourself in a situation where it just seems like everybody's forsaking you, even your church fellow church members, your family, and you feel all isolated and all alone. You know what? Encourage yourself in the Lord. That's what David did. That's what we might need to do if we're trapped by the seashore. And then number six, I pray that though we might stumble, we have to keep in mind that we will not be down for long. Back in Psalm 42 in verse 5, David made reference to that. We might stumble, but we don't have to be down and out. God will rescue us. And so as David made reference, the last thing is this, over in Psalm 56, let us keep our eyes upon the Lord. Let's look to him. Life can be tough, can't it? And from the looks of things, it's going to get a lot tougher. But you know what? God's still on His throne. He's still in control. And we're going to end up at the seashore someday if you're not already there. And it might be because you chose to do that in disobedience to God, or it might be because God said, go over there, and that's where you are, and you're simply doing what God wants you to do, and it's not through any sin of yours. But either way, we end up at the seashore. How are we going to handle it? I pray that you might find courage, that you might take courage in the Lord, look to Him, so that you would not perish. Look to the Lord. Trust Him. Call upon Him. He said He would not leave you. He would not forsake you. Claim the promises of God's Word. Trust in Him. Know that His grace is sufficient. If you're going through it today, all I can do is point you to God for your help. I can't take it away. I pray that I could, but I can't. But God is able. And if you're here and you're lost, you know what? Your greatest need is to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The incidents of life, they don't mean anything compared to hell. And so, my friend, if you're lost, you need Jesus. You're on your way to doom and condemnation, and you need the Lord Jesus Christ because He's the only one that can save you. He's the only one that forgive you. It's Jesus who was crucified, buried, and risen again, and only through Him you can have eternal life. Only by the blood of the Lamb can you be washed away, your sins be washed away. So I point you to Jesus, the mighty to save. So if you're lost, would you be saved today? May you who are saved here today, I don't know your life, I don't know what all you're going through, but God certainly does. I encourage you to look to Him, trust Him, and cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. I'd like for us to stand and sing. Brother Paul, would you please come? The invitation simply is this, right where you are, God knows your heart. God knows whether you're at the seashore yet, or if you're traveling there, or if you've already gone through the water and on the other side. God knows where you are in your life. If you're lost, you need Jesus. If you're saved, then you know what? Life can be hard, but God is able. And I pray that you would find encouragement in this and not be despondent. Look to your Lord who loves you. If you need help, you come. Father, bless your word according to your will. Speak to every heart. We ask you to save the lost and strengthen all of us who are saved today, as life can be very hard. God, we love you, we honor you, we praise you. And we just pray that your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. What number, Brother Paul?